We spent about 2.5 years out there in the Bakken in western North Dakota and in eastern Montana consulting with companies and landowners to help them with their projects. That could be anything between, as far as helping them with consulting on oil service companies getting their product to market, helping them find housing, bringing in infrastructure to them, or we actually help landowners entitle their property and get it ready for market.
What's your background that you started this company?
So I was a financial advisor in the Missoula area for 13 years. I helped a lot of my clients with their individual investment needs. One of my clients actually started making money over there hauling gravel about 3.5 years ago. At that point, I realized after looking what his books were doing that he needed some help on the financial side. At that point, I actually sold my business to another partner and have gone myself full-time in the Bakken for about 2 years. And then we used that financial connections to go raise private capital. That also helped us out on the gravel hauling side, the water, the septic, the porta potty, and the land development as well.
You're busy, aren't you?
Yes, we are. It is an opportunity like nothing anybody's ever seen. They say that it's the number one opportunity in America based on the new USGS reports of 7.4 billion of recoverable oil. We really think that it's not only good for the short term, but it's also a long-term play out there in the Bakken.
And why do you say long-term? Because that is a question in many people's mind. Montana has gone through many boom and bust cycles in the oil industry. Why does this one seem like it's long-term to you?
The main reason is just the technology over the last 10 years has enhanced to allow us to recover the oil. Everybody's always known, geologists for quite some time, that the oil was in the ground. Up until recently, they just didn't know how to access that and get it out. So now with the technology, they're able to not only get it out a lot quicker, they're able to get out some really good production rates right out of the gate. So based on the fact that the USGS just doubled their amount of recoverable oil with today's technology to 7.4 billion barrels of oil, at the current consumption and production levels, that's a 25 to 30-year boom.
It does, though, depend on more than just that. The oil is there. It is a supply and demand industry. No concern that the demand will wane?
Well, obviously global demand is going to be the main concern for any oil field in the world. One thing that we like about the Bakken is that the break-even price of oil is a lot lower there than some of the other areas in the world, the Middle East, Canada, Alaska, some of these other areas, that because of the high production rates and the high quality of oil in the Bakken, it's actually not only demanded in a higher amount than other oils around the world, the break-even point is somewhere around $45 to $50. So the theory, of course, is if oil prices across the world start declining, some of these
which
other...
Which they could.
Which they absolutely could. Some of these other areas around the world that have higher break-even prices will slow production before the Bakken slows down as well.
There's also debate about just how much Montana is going to be part of this boom. Obviously, North Dakota, I think they're third now behind Texas and Alaska in terms of oil production, which is a very recent thing. But they have like over 6,000 wells. I think Montana is about 700.
Recently, a few months ago, North Dakota passed Alaska as the number two oil producer. So that's pretty exciting. 4 years ago, they were number nine. So to go from number nine to number two in a short amount of time is obviously pretty significant. The question remains is how much of the oil is going to be recoverable in Montana? That's what everybody really wants to know. The recent study by the USGS says that 22% of the Bakken oil geographically is in Montana, and it's over a billion barrels of recoverable oil. If you take a look at that compared to Alaska, compared to Texas, that's larger than both of those oil fields. So really, the Bakken itself is 7.4 billion barrels. 22% or about 1.6 billion is in Montana. So we believe that the Montana production is going to increase and is going to be here for the long term.
What are the obstacles right now, though? Why isn't Montana at 6,000 wells like North Dakota?
That's a great question, and a lot of that has to do with just political climate. North Dakota just seems to be a little more pro-business than Montana. Has really always had a really good environmental stance, and that has delayed some of the permitting process. But right now, I think that it's just the main concern is just getting over there and recovering the Montana oil. But right now, I think that it's a matter of North Dakota being kind of the hot market, and that these oil companies want to tie up all these leases that are in North Dakota. So by doing so, they want to get as many holes, as many wells drilled as they can to tie up those leases so that way the prices that they're going to pay the landowners don't go up.
But it isn't just regulatory, is it? I mean, Montana's formation is different than North Dakota's, and there are infrastructure needs there that don't exist in Montana right now. I mean, it's not a regulatory obstacle entirely.
No, it's not regulatory. There's a lot of different issues. I think that right now these oil companies prefer North Dakota because they're familiar with that climate. They already have folks on the ground. Williston alone has over 500 oil service companies there, so that's really going to be the heart of it. But we are now starting to see more wells drilled in Montana, higher number of permits. But really, as you mentioned earlier, there's about 185 drill rigs in North Dakota, but there's only about 18 in Montana. So we really need to get some of those drill rigs on the western side of the border of the line so that Montana can start producing some of that high-quality oil.
And then distribution is an issue, too. And, of course, the Keystone Pipeline, do you see that as being crucial to Montana's development, or is that tangential?
It used to be crucial. I would say about a year ago, there just wasn't the availability to get the oil out. And the Bakken, by the time that it hit the market, was actually at a significant discount of up to $20 a barrel because it was so expensive to get the oil out. But now rail capacity has increased, and they're starting to use alternative ways to get it out, mainly rail and some of the smaller pipelines that they're running to other markets. And there now is talk that Canada is going to move it to the east of Canada, eastern part of the country, as opposed to using the XL pipeline. So whereas right now it's not as critical as it was a year ago, I definitely think that that's going to be an issue for eastern Montana oil.
The other issue that's being debated now is new fracking rules proposed by the Environmental Protection Agency. What impact could those rules have if they go into effect?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. There's a lot of those rules that we've seen that are going to affect public lands. Most everything.
BLM primarily.
BLM. And most everything that we've seen in western North Dakota is on the private side. About 90% of the ground that they're drilling right now is on the private side, whereas Montana has a lot more public land. So that's going to be a larger significance in Montana than it will in North Dakota, and will obviously be a major hurdle to jump.
Why?
So it'll be a hurdle because folks want to make sure that environmentally that the fracking does not cause damage to the environment, to the drinking water, and all the animals. And Montana is obviously great with natural resources. We're here for our beauty, and nobody really wants there to be any long-term effects for the short-term profit.
My question is, if the new fracking rules go into effect, why couldn't the companies just comply and say, yes, we will reveal what kind of chemicals we're pumping into the ground? We have no problem with that.
Yeah, and really it depends on the company. Most of the ones that we follow and we have relationships with are actually now publicly listing all of the ingredients that are inside of their fracked fluids. I think it's something that they should do anyway, of course, and so I think that they're going to follow suit with that and really self-regulate themselves anyway.
Right now, Eric, it seems like the major impact of the Bakken in western Montana are workers who are going out there to take advantage of the wages and the job opportunities. But what other opportunities do you see for western Montana in the Bakken development?
Yes, we believe that there's a lot of really good product companies here that are manufacturers of product that really work well in western North Dakota and in eastern Montana, and we really think that's the next boom.
For example?
For example, there's a rig mat company up in the Polson area where they actually use the local lumber to manufacture these rig mats to go on site.
What's a rig mat, sir?
Rig mat is it's a wood mat, much like a large pallet or a dock, that actually goes on the drill sites to put heavy equipment on so that it doesn't sink into the the clay or the dirt that's out there. That's just one example of a Western Montana company that's done well. Additionally, there's some major manufacturers here that are building everything from metals to fabrication products to plastics. They're actually working on Missoula, Montana, diesel mechanics are actually working on trucks and other rigs that are coming from the Bakken simply because they can't handle the demand over there.
No doubt in your mind that if Western Montana hitches its star to the Bakken bandwagon, that that's a safe star to hitch to for at least the next 25 years?
Yeah, well, safe is obviously relative. I think it far beats what we have going on locally right now. Even though our economy's improved over the last few years, it's still not back to the level that it used to be. So just like as an investment advisor, I was telling folks to diversify their investments. You obviously don't want to put all of your eggs into the Bakken basket, but we feel confident that it'll be here for the next 25 to 30 years with a lot more stability than our current Western Montana economy can provide.
And you feel that way even though the political climate could change? There could be, for example, more of a push to reduce fossil fuel dependence, more of a push to develop renewables. renewables because of climate change concerns.
Yeah, there's a lot of those changes, obviously, that are coming up that are going to be additional hurdles. The oil industry has seen many of those hurdles for quite some time, and they've always, you know, always found a way to, you know, develop these fossil fuels and these, you know, energy fields. That's really the main question on a lot of folks' mind is, can the regulatory environment slow down these types of processes? And quite honestly, they should make it so that it's good positive for the environment, but at the same time make it beneficial to the businesses as well. And we found a lot of those companies out there go far above and beyond what the regulatory environment is, quite simply because they have the capital to do so. You know, because they're making money out there, they're taking that money to then put into environmental protection and doing whatever they can for the environment.
Your company is going to grow, isn't it, Eric?
Yeah, absolutely. We have grown, almost doubled in size over the last couple of years, and we're going to continue to grow as these projects develop.
I've been speaking with Eric Peterson, who's CEO of a company called Bakken Consulting, has offices in Missoula and in Weibo. Eric, thank you so much.
Thank you. I sure appreciate it.